3. Welcome to the Sportscast, October 22nd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest in sports news. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Read your Bible on your iPhone, make a picture, and share it to the world. Go to instabibleapp.com. The World Series 2019 begins tonight. The Houston Astros against a unexperienced Washington Nationals, up for a high-rated World Series potentially. And to join us to talk to us about baseball, the only guy on the Sportscast that knows about baseball, Mr. Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
We finally made it. Like we were saying a couple weeks ago, it takes a month, you know, just to go through the playoffs. Maybe less than a month. But we'll know the champion maybe before November. Kailu, what's going to happen this World Series?
I think the Astros are going to win in six. I think the Astros have the deeper lineup. I think we're going to see very great pitchers for the Nationals. We're going to see Patrick Corbin. We're going to see Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, who's tremendous in the playoffs. And for the Houston Astros, we're going to see Garrett Cole. We're going to see Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke. I think three of the keys in this series is going to be about – can the Nationals starters go deep in the game, 7-8 innings? The Astros are very experienced at working a pitch count, as we saw against the Yankees. I think for the Nationals, they're going to have to get more innings out of their starters. That's Max Scherzer and Patrick Corbin. They're going to have to get more innings out of their starters. I think they're more than capable. I think the Astros are going to try to work the pitch count early, try to get them off the game, and really try to get to that Nationals bullpen, because the only two guys that they trust in the bullpen is Daniel Hudson in the bullpen.
The Astros have home field advantage after leading the majors with a franchise record 107 wins. They knocked off the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees to reach the Fall Classic, and they are searching for their second title in 3 years. As for the Nationals, they rallied from a 19-31 start to win 93 games and claiming wild card berth after besting the Milwaukee Brewers in the wild card game and knocking off heavily favored Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLDS. They swept the St. Louis Cardinals in a dominant fashion in NLCS to clinch their first World Series appearance in franchise history. What should the Nationals do, even though they're not favorites? What is the best thing they can do to stop these Astros?
What's the best thing the Nationals can do to stop the Astros? I think the Nationals are going to have to, like they said, I think the Nationals, they have a starting pitching to go head-to-head with the Astros. The difference is, I think the Astros' bullpen is stronger, and I think their lineup is deeper. But what should the Nationals do? They should definitely be aggressive on the bases, work their pitch count. The Astros' bullpen is good, not great. I think Trey Turner is going to have to be very aggressive on the bases. I think that's going to be important for them. Anthony Rendon was a really good player in the NL. He's going to have a really good series. Juan Soto's impressive. He's going to have to continue what he did. Now he hit that home run off Clayton Kershaw. He's going to have to continue what he did. Howie Kendrick's going to have to build on that MVP NLCS that he had. They're going to have to get production from the bottom of the order, 7, 8, and 9. Because if you look at 7, 8 through 9, even though Yordan Alvarez struggled in the ALCS, they have Martin Maldonado batting 8th, Josh Reddick batting 9th. And I think they're going to have to get production 7-9 for the Nationals. I think they're going to have to continue to have that good series from Ryan Zimmerman and Howie Kendrick. They're older veterans. And I also think that Trey Turner is going to have to be aggressive on the bases for the Nationals to win.
Something to definitely look at, of course. Kailu says that the Houston Astros will win in six. If the Nationals did, you know, could win, I guess they can do it in seven.
Yeah, I think that Houston, I think I favor Houston because I think their lineup is deeper. And I also think that when Houston, they're so used to going against the DH, and now that when they go to the National League City, you don't have the DH. So that's a less batter that Houston has to worry about. In terms of the American League, you always have to face the DH. And in the National League, even though some pitchers can hit, most pitchers can't hit, so I favor Houston in that. And I also think that Houston's lineup is deeper. I think Houston's better, and I think they're defensive veteran. I think that their starters are better.
Looking back at what happened with the Yankees, of course they went deep in these playoffs. What happened to the Yankees this past, this past playoffs, and what can they improve on to do better next year?
I think contrary to what people would think, the Yankees pitching staff would only outscore by one run. And I think the Yankees next time, I mean, the Yankees went 6-for-35 runs scoring 171 as a team that led the league, runs scoring with a 294 batting average runs scoring. I think going forward, the Yankees batters like Gary Sanchez, Eric Encarnacion could just really hit run scoring and get time hits. So I think getting time hits, I think our pitchers were just fine. Paxton up pitched Verlander game 5. Tanaka was great in game 1. Even when we didn't get Lamp, everybody talked about how Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole was great. They were good. And even the opportunities in game 2, Justin Verlander went 6 2/3, and the Yankees still had an additional 4 1/3 innings to go. Game 3, Garrett Cole had 5 walks. And even when he left, the Yankees still had opportunities. It just was about the Yankees didn't take advantage of the opportunities running the scoring machine.
Yeah, definitely. I actually watched that series for a little bit, and you know there was momentum after Game 5, but then going back to Houston, Houston just had them right there. I mean, there was just no room for the Yankees to win it.
True.
Looking forward to So the World Series begins tonight, and of course it's a best out of 7 series. Game series, and hopefully it'll be a good series. Kailu said 6 games. I'm hoping for 7 for a nice full one. Now, this World Series should be done by November for sure, right?
Let me look.
It is October 22nd, yeah. And baseball you could pay, yeah, back-to-back if you wanted to.
Yeah, it should be over by November, yes, correct.
And have you ever seen a World Series, play 2 games in the same day?
No, they can't do that. From a logistical standpoint, it's just too much. It ends October 30th, so yeah, before November.
Sounds pretty excited. And tonight, the NBA begins tonight, Kailu. What are your expectations for this season?
I'm so excited about this season, actually. There's like 11 teams in the West that could make the playoffs in the West. I'm really excited about tonight for the first time forever. It's, like, more competitive. I think that loss of Zion is, I think, it's huge for the first 6 to 8 weeks. I think television executives are pissed. I think from a fan standpoint, it's disappointing because we really wanted to see Zion open at night. But from, like, 3 standpoints from television networks, I think they're really pissed off about it. I think from a fan standpoint, it's disappointing. But for Zion, you just hope that he can get right and you hope that this is not the start of injury problem because I was really excited to see him. And in terms of tonight, the Raptors are going to be unveiling their banners. So that should be really cool, their first banner in franchise history. After all those runs to LeBron, they can never get past him. So that should be really cool. Siakam got paid a nice amount of money, so that's really, really cool. Seeing Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, seeing if they can stay healthy, take that next step forward as young players in the game. And also the second game, L.A., the Battle of L.A., LeBron versus Kawhi Leonard. So that should be great. And really see how those two matchups play out early on and not really make too much of it because it's just one game.
Obviously, the first game. As Kailu mentioned, Zion will not be available tonight. He'd be out for, I think, about 6 weeks with a meniscus tear, so the Pelicans will be without him. Tonight, the Pelicans open up with the Raptors, just like what Kailu says, and then Lakers and Clippers. It starts off with a bang, and then tomorrow continues with a slate of games. Cavaliers, Magic, not 2 good teams. Celtics and Sixers face off tomorrow night, so that's something to look at. Knicks and Spurs. Knicks with RJ Barrett. Any good prospecting? I mean, would you think you have a good sense for this season, or is it's going to be another non-playoff year?
In terms of for the Knicks, it's another non-playoff year for them, but I think that this year they got to see major growth from Kevin Knox. This year, they got to continue to see major growth from Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson. Obviously, you want to see how RJ Barrett looks. I think you want to see more from Dave Fizdale this year because last year they were all in for Zion. This year, you're not getting Zion. He's on the Pelicans. You won 17 games last year. You're looking, I think they win more than that, way more than that. I think they win between 25 and 30 games this year. But I think this year, for them, obviously, no pause. But I think this year you want to see more development from the coaching. You want to make sure that RJ Barrett is getting the necessary coaching, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox. So I think this year you want to see more development from the team. You don't want to see them be stagnant and have that no growth like they did last year. You want to see growth.
Before the season starts, tell me your top 2 teams in the East and West.
My top two teams in the East are Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's comeback, even though they lost Brogdon, you still have Giannis back, who won the MVP last year. You still have a really good team. You still have Chris Middleton. You brought him back. You have Brook Lopez. So I think that, and you still have Boone Hoser. You're still going to be able to shoot threes, and Giannis is still going to be great in the regular season. So I think that should be great. I think Philadelphia is going to be the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. I think Philadelphia is really strong. You brung in Josh Richardson. Even if Ben Simmons is not great shooting, hopefully he's learned shooting, I still think it's good enough in the regular season. It may haunt him at times in the playoffs if he hasn't improved, but they're still formidable. Joel Embiid should be, you know, he's still dominant. You still have Ben Simmons. You brung back Josh Richardson. You also added Al Horford, which should be really helpful for them. So those are the top two in the East. And in the West, I think that Denver could potentially be a top 2 seed. I think it's going to be really tough in the West because obviously you have the Clippers, but it depends about Paul George, what's the Lakers looking like, what the workload manager for LeBron, how many minutes do they want to play him. Also, what type of schedule they have him playing. Do they want to play him 70 games? Do they want to play 60 games? So I think Denver is definitely giving the conversation for the top 2 seed. I think the Lakers could be up there as well as the Clippers.
Yeah, definitely. I really think it would be the Clippers and Lakers. But you say in Denver, I know you follow the NBA a little closer than I do. But yeah, Denver is definitely a force. They finished number two last season. So we definitely see how much Denver has progressed for this season with Jokic. Yeah, Jokic, right? Yeah, so it should be good. So, but yeah, just really excited and things are going on really well. Michael Jordan made a comment earlier today about Stephen Curry not a Hall of Famer in his book. What were your thoughts about his comments?
I thought that Michael Jordan, honestly, the interview, I felt like he was joking. Obviously, Michael Jordan has like different standards, so I didn't like really take it like too serious. Obviously, felt like there's a different criteria for Hall of Fame, so I kind of get like with him, like how like everybody goes in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So it sort of dilutes to, I think, like what he was trying to say by his standards, like the Basketball Hall of Fame opposed to like different other sports, like the baseball, you got to wait so long. Same with basketball, but like basketball seems like everybody gets in. I guess he was speaking to like his Hall of Fame with the 6 rings, and then there's another Hall he doesn't view. He doesn't view like people that just go on Hall of Fame for – he doesn't view like everybody just, he doesn't want just everybody on the plane. So I didn't make too much of it. I could see like where he was coming from about it. So I didn't really make too much of it.
And then Irvin Johnson, Magic Johnson, tweeted after that he was saying that, of course, Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer. Michael Jordan can't say it because it's against league rules.
I didn't think he was saying that he was not a Hall of Famer. I just think that Michael Jordan is so competitive. So he was saying like this. I think he was speaking to more not Hall of Fame because obviously he knows he said like Steph Curry is a great player. I think he was speaking for the levels of the Hall of Fame. Like Steph Curry should be in the Hall of Fame, but like not at Jordan's level. So I guess maybe he phrased it wrong, but I guess he was speaking to like Hall of Fame like levels.
Yeah,
like
top levels tier.
You go, even though it's yeah tier. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
You know, for top tier, of course, would be Michael Jordan, Dr. J. And probably LeBron at some level.
Yeah, Magic. Yeah, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. Maybe Kobe Bryant.
I think Kobe Bryant's up there, but I don't think that Kobe Bryant's like in the top five. Like if we're just dropping as like a team, I think he's more like second tier.
Yeah, second tier. Maybe
Jordan's a two. Yeah.
Yeah, with Steph Curry, but we know, of course, Steph Curry has still more left to go in his career, and we'll see what he does. This is going to be a Golden State that is, you know, is shaping up like a pre Kevin Durant day. So we'll see what he's capable of. Maybe he'll hustle harder. I mean, he always hustle harder, but you know, he'll probably play at a different higher level this time around. But what do you think about Golden State? Do you think they, you know, will finish top four, top two? How deep can they get?
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I know some people don't have to make the playoffs. I think the loss of Clay potentially is not really surprised by the news. But I agree with Steve Curry. You don't want to rush him back because push comes to shove. Like Kevin Durant, I was telling them when he did against the Blazers, don't bring him back. Everybody wanted to rush him back, and they say it was healthy. He really wasn't. He should never came back in the first place. I think they want to take it easy with Clay because you made an investment with Clay. So you want to have him for the long haul. I mean, obviously having DeAndre Russell there is going to help. It's not Clay Thompson, but he can still do a little. He can create a little. He's not really going to help you on the defensive end. You lost Andre Iguodala. You lost Kevin Durant. You've now lost three wings. So you're not really going to be great on defense this year. But I think D'Angelo Russell can help you with a few things. I don't think that Golden State's going to be in the top four. It's not a championship team. They're young. They're inexperienced. You still have Steph and Green. So you still have two formidable pieces that were there. That was a part of your championship squad. But you're playing young rotation players, Alfonso McKinney. We've never really counted off a major thing. D'Angelo Russell still doesn't understand the Golden State culture. He's not used to, like, winning at a high level. He came from L.A. past year, Brooklyn. They did some winning, but not as much as the championship level. So I expect Golden State to make the playoffs as a maybe 6, 7, or 8, and they can 6, 7, or 8. I think they can win all around, but it's all going to, like, depend on the matchup, who they play. So I think they can win a round in the playoffs and then go to second round and lose in, like, 4 or 5.
We'll see what happens. Of course, the NBA season begins tonight, and the rush of a new champion potentially. Obviously, Toronto's chances are not good because Kawhi Leonard left. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, NBA season begins, but not many people follow it till after the All-Star break or All-Star game. But it depends who you ask, right? So let's look at the Big 12 scores. Oklahoma defeated West Virginia 52-14. Texas Tech lost against Iowa State 34-24. Kansas State beat TCU 24-17. Oklahoma State lost against Baylor 45-27. Texas beat Kansas 50-48. Really close match. Looking at the AP poll in college football, Oklahoma is number 5. Still looking from the outside in. Do you think Oklahoma will eventually make it to the top 4?
Yeah, I think Oklahoma's eventually going to be the top 4. I think this stuff takes time. I was very impressed with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts continues to just be, because I was, 16 for 17, 3 touchdowns, 316 yards. I think Oklahoma eventually get in. I don't think 2 SEC teams are going to get in. I think that the weekly rankings are great because it's like a benchmark where you. I think Oklahoma eventually get in because the big matchup, LSU or Bama, someone's going to lose. So then that's Oklahoma's spot right there. You get one loss, you're out. And LSU still has to play Georgia. You still are playing in the top SEC. So I think Oklahoma is definitely going to get in. I think they'll take one of those spots. I think they'll end up taking LSU spot. Joe Burrow's like to play around. He's been great, but either one of those teams are going to lose. And once you have one loss, it's going to be really difficult to get in if it holds pat.
Reading for the top 25, Alabama is number 1, LSU is number 2, and just like Kyle said, Alabama and LSU score off November 9th. So one of those teams might not make it to the top 4 if, someone has to lose. And we'll see how things shuffle, but of course, the SEC is a tough conference. Then you got Ohio State number 3. Clemson is slowly dropping. They're number 4 right now. Do you think they'll drop further?
I think Clemson, obviously the loss cost for North Carolina almost losing that game. I think that the committee started to see, like, this is not like last year's Clemson team. They lost Dexter Lawrence on the defensive line, Kalen Farrell, who they had last year. I think Clemson's starting to slip because they're not dominant as they were last year. Like, they lost a lot of pieces on defense. And I also feel like Trevor Lawrence was exceptionally hyped last year, and I did it too. But, like, this year, he's really struggled. He's fired over interceptions. He's really struggled this year, so I think that the committee is realizing that they're not last year's team. They still have a long way to go to beat last year's team or, like, be some semblance, some resemble last year's team. But I think that the committee realizes that right now they're not – like, I don't think they're one of the 4 best teams right now. I just don't, like, view them as one of the 4 best teams at this moment.
Yeah, there is definitely an argument for that. Who knows? I mean, even if Clemson wins out and stays undefeated – there might be a chance they might not make the playoffs. So we'll definitely see what happens in the playoff committee, which will be November 5th, will be the first college poll, and see how things are tricked out. Penn State's number 6, Florida number 7, Notre Dame number 8, number 9, Auburn, number 10, Georgia, and then Oregon. Oregon never, even though they beat Washington Cougars, they couldn't get into the top 10.
Yeah, true.
Utah right behind them at number 12. Wisconsin number 13. Wisconsin lost to Illinois by 1 point, Kailu. A Wisconsin team that we thought had a lot of potential, but not against Illinois.
Yeah, they missed that field goal. That's such a great one. You missed a field goal. and time's running down, you miss a field goal.
Not very good for Wisconsin, even though they had a good run these past couple of weeks. Baylor, another Big 12 team, is number 14. Texas, right behind them, number 15. SMU is moving up slowly at number 6. The Gophers are undefeated, Kailu, at number 17.
True.
Then you got Cincinnati at 18, Michigan at 19, and 20, Iowa, and then Appalachian State, another small team in the top 25, then Boise State, then Iowa State, Arizona State, and Wake Forest sliding into the top 25. Well, there you have it. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
No.
Well, I have one more thing. The Jets lost, the New York Jets lost pretty bad against the New England Patriots last night. What were your thoughts about that match?
Scott, watching the first half, and the Jets just got simply. It was a game where the Jets just simply. I mean, they played it frank. They just simply got outplayed. I mean, it got to a point where you thought like the Jets, like, I mean, for them to just get outplayed. I mean, they had 6 turnovers. They lost the time possession. It's one of those games that the coach is just like, and thing. Tom Brady's now 29-6 all time in the regular season against the Jets. So it was one of those games where the Jets just got outplayed. I mean, they fell behind early. They never recovered. And, you know, I don't think there's an excuse or, you know, their coach went on the air and said, like, thing. And I know they always lose to the Patriots. Typically, like, Jets always lose and the game is close. They typically have a good defense. Their defense is actually pretty impressive so far to start the year. So it's one of those games where you want to flush out your memory as quick as possible.
Of course, the Patriots are now the most dominant team in the AFC. They're undefeated with having games straight. And, of course, now with Kansas City Mahomes out, there's not much of a threat except the Bills, but the Patriots already beat the Bills. But you think this Patriots team got this AFC locked up already?
I think the AFC, you hate those, like, think because in a one game, anyone can beat anybody. But right now, you have to say the Patriots are the clear favorites in the AFC. Like you said, Patrick Mahomes being out thing. And even if he does come back, after the thing, they're going to have 9 wins. And with 9 wins, you're probably going to be playing on the road. So you're going to be playing in New England. And playing in New England in December is already going to be difficult as well. They already lost last year when they played Arrowhead. So imagine playing in, like, New England in December. They're going to be tough to beat. They're going to have the bye week. So, I mean, right now, the Patriots, with their defense, with Tom Brady at the quarterback, with Bill Belichick coaching them, right now they're the clear favorites.
One other team that's really popping right now is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I like what I see from the Colts right now. I mean, I like what I see from the Colts. The Colts got the win over the Chiefs. They beat the Texans. So the Colts are really, if they continue to build off this momentum, the Colts can really challenge.
Jacoby Brissett and Abron definitely leading Indianapolis and definitely dominating the AFC South, which has become an interesting division right now. It usually isn't, but now things are getting interesting with Houston and with Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and you can say Tennessee as well. But we'll see what happens. Game predictions, Kailu, are you ready?
Yep.
Let's go Notre Dame at Michigan.
I think Michigan is going to win.
Michigan wins. Wisconsin at Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Some people say they're the best team in the country.
I'm not ready to say that about Ohio State. I still think that, obviously, the loss of Tua's ankle injury is going to be out a week. So we shall see. I like what I see from LSU right now. I still think LSU is one of the best teams in the thing. But I definitely think they're in that pack.
And the game of the weekend, which you just mentioned, Auburn at LSU.
I think LSU wins. I like what I see from LSU. I like what I see from LSU, Joe Burrow, and bringing in a quarterback, Joe Brady from the Saints. I think that's really helped them. So I think LSU continues their momentum into that big game. However, it can be a slip-up game for them. Knowing that you have Alabama in a week, it is possible that you slip up before then, but I don't think that happens. I think it holds true, and I think LSU wins.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like teams like Wisconsin, they're prepping for a big game like Ohio State, and they kind of lax out a little bit. No, you got to play your hardest. Auburn is a force to be reckoned with. They're top 10 for a reason.
Yeah, true.
And then we got for NFL, Giants at the Lions.
I think that Daniel Jones and company bounce back. He's had a lot of problems with turnovers. The Lions have been on the skids lately. I think Daniel Jones go on a road in a dome and he wins that game.
Danny Jones wins. That sends a good statement for him to keep going. NBA tonight, Lakers at Clippers.
I think the Lakers win. No Paul George. I think the Lakers have played really well in the preseason. Not to make too much of the preseason. Kuzma's going to be out. I think LeBron and Anthony Davis have a big show on opening night. Everyone's going to be here. It's the center of the universe in L.A. I think the Lakers win. I think it's going to be close, but I think the Lakers win opening night for their fans.
And random question, what is your favorite pumpkin food item? The choices are pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin donuts, pumpkin pie, or pumpkin Cheerios.
Pumpkin donuts. You can never go wrong from a Dunkin' Donuts pumpkin donut.
I totally agree. They make the best pumpkin donuts, and they might be the only people. Pumpkin donuts is actually at 25%. Right now, pumpkin pie is winning by 50. Second place is pumpkin donuts. Then pumpkin spice latte and Cheerios are tied for last place. Quite interesting. Pumpkin pie is winning. Maybe it's a Thanksgiving thing. But pumpkin donuts, guys, if you haven't tried it, go to Dunkin' Donuts. They make it nice and fresh. It's moisty. And it's definitely worth with coffee. Kailu, how can people reach you to talk to you about Michael Jordan?
They can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12. And you can also reach me on Instagram at KailuBorden12.
Follow Kailu. Tonight it's the World Series. Oh, wait, hold on. Who takes game one?
I think the Astros take game one. I think a couple X factors game. We watch how long Garrett Cole goes in the game, but I think he goes a solid seven. I think the X factors tonight are going to be Alex Bregman. I think Jose Altuve has been on a tear in the playoffs, one of the most clutchest players in the playoffs history. I don't understand, but I think he has a big game tonight. I think Bregman has a big game tonight. And look out for Yordan Alvarez. He's struggling the ALCS. He had a great rookie year. I think he also chipped in with a hit or two. And I think the Astros win in a low-scoring game. I think there's a couple opportunities for both teams, but I think the pitchers regroup. But I have Houston holding serve at home.
When was the last time Houston won the World Series?
2017.
That was 2 years ago. The streak keeps going, and the Nationals' inexperience, if they win, it'll be a miracle. But in baseball, anything can happen. They got in deep so far, so we'll see what is in stake. Visit us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be live tweeting college football games this weekend and NFL game day, where Kylie does a great job, and we'll be following along what happens and what is going to go on with several teams that are kind of questionable right now. But we'll see what happens. Kailu, always a pleasure.
Thank you.